Gamers, role players, naysayers, we are here back again for episode 19 of the JTOS podcast, your podcast for everything video game, tabletop, and geek culture. I'm your host, Jodan Castillo, and of course, joining me are my co-hosts. They're all in agreement that Lemmy is God, Balthazar 01, Lord Reverend Zero,
hey,
and Trunks Almighty.
What's going on?
Also making his JTOS debut is our very good friend and what I like to call a founding father of joysticks, tabletops, and other short stories, Todd Nicholson, a.k.a. Skimpy McDoo.
How's it going, everybody?
All right. And again to all of our listeners, if you enjoy hanging out with us small town geeks, please give us a like, a share, a review, or all of the above on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite listening platforms. You can also visit us on Facebook at Joysticks, Tabletops, and Other Short Stories, or just Google search Joysticks Waxa. That's Joysticks, W-A-X-A. Boys, how are we doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Todd, man, nice to have you on with us, dude.
Man, thanks for having me on. No, I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Excellent, man. Really cool. I'm really excited to have you on. Really excited to delve into a little bit of your world with all this streaming stuff. You know, we're all old guys pretty much, so we don't really do any of that. So it'd be nice to kind of get a little insight from somebody that's actually in it and does it.
Yeah, definitely. I could take y'all into the world of a small streamer for a minute.
Good stuff, man. All right, well, let's go ahead and let's start off with what are we playing. You know what, Todd? Let's go ahead and start with you. Do you play anything new lately?
You know, man, I've been playing a lot of online games lately, just since the COVID kind of messed up Smash tournaments.
I've been linking
to a lot of online stuff, trying to get that moving.
Yeah.
But as far as single player, I just borrowed Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, okay. So how are you liking that? Because, I mean, this podcast is a big fan.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't played it yet. I literally got it.
All right.
It's coming. But I have to bring it up right now.
So I guess
I have to bring it up because I'm so excited. I've heard nothing but phenomenal things about this game.
Apparently, it's excellent. You know, as a PlayStation fan myself, I'm ashamed to say I haven't played it either. So, but Tim and Trunks, they adore this damn game, so...
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Supposed to be excited. And I know that they just got their recent DLC, their free DLC for Legends, so they have multiplayer locked and loaded for you.
Yeah, they do, man.
Yeah.
It's badass.
So that's really cool, man. Really, really cool. All right. Dude. Well, Tim, what do you got?
I've actually been playing Godfall.
Okay.
Just downloaded it yesterday.
Now, you're playing this on PC, right?
Yes. Okay. Epic Game Store is, I believe, the only place available on PC at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not in Steam yet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like a combination of Borderlands for the loot system, and then the combat is a mixture of God of War and Dark Souls.
Okay. So, all right. So, but I mean, it heavily relies on the multiplayer, though, right? Is that right?
It can. You don't have to play multiplayer, though.
But isn't that what people are going to be doing? I mean,
yeah, that's my plan.
Have you been playing with people online? Have you played with teams
online? No, I just finished the tutorial.
Oh, okay. So you
yeah, it has like a good 20-30 minute tutorial if you take your time.
So you're brand new into this still.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I did have one question about Godfall.
Yeah,
cuz what's the weapons like? Or is it all just like your basic, dual swords and all
there's
that?
Dual swords, long swords, and hammers that I've seen so far.
Yeah, so they're calling this thing a looter slasher instead of a looter shooter. So I see what you mean with, you know, the elements of Borderlands and stuff like that, which I honestly, dude, I'm not heavy into those games. I don't really like them all that much, but obviously they're amazing games because they sell millions and millions of copies.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Godfall might have a place. I know that the online multiplayer realm is starting to get a little stuffy. You know, I mean, everybody's trying to get in there. I know that That one game that we talked about two months ago, Rocket Arena, they're dying fast. You can literally go to Walmart right now in their clearance bin and buy it for $3. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so
still not getting it.
Yeah. Well, of course, I wouldn't get it either.
Wait and get it for free.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, man. Eventually, I just feel like it's gonna be one of those games. They're gonna shove into PS Plus or Games for Gold. So
they're gonna put it on the PS Plus in that back burner area where like the other games do them once.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's like your two main games, and then just here's some bullshit.
Yep. Pretty much, man. Pretty much. All right. So yeah. So what? All right. So Godfall. What are the what do you call them? Factions or whatever in this game, man. Is it all just like one resilient? Like,
so far, I've only seen like there's your character and then your brother is like the main protagonist.
Okay.
is you, and then the antagonist is your brother that betrayed everybody, and that's what you're trying to, you're trying to beat him is the big main goal.
Okay, I got you, I got you. All right, well, really cool, man. Zero, what do you got?
I've been playing the remake of Resident Evil 2.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, trying to pick it up and finally finish it.
Do you get the complete version of it, or are you playing the one without the DLC and all that? DLC meaning pretty much the extra costumes and weapons and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's kind of old school because you have to unlock a lot of that shit.
Yeah. So see, and I thought it was really cool that they have the option to, like, I think you have to unlock this too, but you have the option of like playing the original audio from the original game. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I just love how they do shit like that, man. Yeah, Resident Evil 2 remake. I want to say. People favor that one over 3, the remake, right?
Yeah, 3
is that correct?
3 is a lot more action-based. Yeah. 2 has a lot of the puzzles and stuff still
okay.
in it.
Okay. Cool, man. Trunks, what you got?
Actually went back to Dragon Ball Kakarot and played a little bit of... And, you know, after playing Miles Morales on the PS5, I jumped back into Spider-Man because I need the web sling.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I feel you on that. I don't really have anything new. I mean, obviously, I've been playing some PS5 stuff. I haven't had a lot of time to delve into anything in particular. I mean, I played maybe 20 minutes of Demon's Souls. And what we played together on Miles Morales, both you two and with Zero, I got past pretty much the Rhino scene, which right. I didn't think we got that far with Zero. Because with Zero, with you and Tim... We did like the whole level thing, right?
Yeah, we got Rhino, yeah. And then I went to Avengers Tower. Yeah, I saw it and I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah, see, yeah, Zero took like the kind of tech route. He wanted to see the details and, you know, everything that's going on behind the scenes, pretty
right,
much.
Right.
Like there was one segment or one area that he went to where he was kind of just climbing on the wall. And we wanted to see that pop-up from the people down below. Which, by the way, dude, he was pretty much at the very top of Avengers Tower. And you can still see these, like, swarms of people walking up and down the street. The city never looks empty. It never looked empty.
And that's good.
Yeah, and so Zero would creep his way down the wall to see that pop, you know? Because eventually it's supposed to pop. And we never saw one, dude. So it was rendering that same shit at the very top of the building all the way down.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, you could... count the trees in Central Park from the top of Avengers Tower.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty freaking cool.
But the one thing I can say, though, that I did like about Miles was, like, we were talking about when you dive off of the building, how it the music pretty much kind of stops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it builds up, and as soon as you hit that swing,
yeah,
it's like the beat just drops real quick and just...
Oh, you know, yeah.
I thought that was a real cool add-on.
That was a really cool touch that they put towards it. I remember you doing that.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because that's always one of my favorite things to do, because if it doesn't give me that rush like I got from Spider-Man 2,
yeah,
I don't like it.
I feel you.
And I still got that rush from, you know, seeing everything blur as you're getting closer and closer and closer to the ground.
Yeah. All right. Well, really cool, boys. Really cool. So before we get into the news, we're going to have a little conversation with our buddy Todd here. Todd, you are a live streamer.
Every now and then.
Now, are you live streaming on consoles or on a PC?
That depends.
Okay, so you dabble in both?
Yeah, if I'm live streaming, like, professional... Well, I say professional, I'm not making money off
it anymore. No, we understand what you mean.
If I'm streaming, like, scrims with my buddy Cam, and we're sitting there playing Smash Brothers,
yeah,
and we're grinding it out, that's obviously going to be on the Switch using a capture card and Elgato HD60. But nice. A lot of other stuff, like Rocket League, Fortnite, uh-huh. Apex, all that's on PC mostly. I am trying to get HDMI or an AV to HDMI converter to start streaming 1080p3. With my buddy Blake, who used to play that game at tournament level 2, so...
Holy hell, dude.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool when we finally get that on stream.
So you got a lot of stuff in the works, man. That's awesome, dude. Tell me, man, I mean, all right, doing a podcast is obviously way different than live streaming, but both of them require a lot of work and a lot of knowing that you need to do something, you know, even though sometimes you don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get that same kind of feeling in the live stream universe?
You know, not right now, because my viewer group is so small, bouncing between sometimes I have 2 viewers a stream, sometimes I've gotten up to 25 viewers a stream, but I don't really have any pressure from any of them yet. But
there's always that thought in the back of your head that, you know, one day you would love to have it, but you hear stories and stuff about these guys, you know, like... they get big overnight, and it kind of like takes over their world, man. You know, would you say that? I mean, that's kind of a thing in the live stream world too.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. You can get shouted out by one person, get hosted by one streamer. Next thing you know, the next morning you wake up and you have 4 digits, 5 digits worth of followers. People trying to wait for the next time you're online. Yeah. It's nerve wracking.
Do you ever live stream any like single player stuff at all?
Yeah, I try to. I like. There's a $30 game that got announced at the Game Awards. I think it was Maneater.
Oh, yeah.
Where you play
as
the shark. That may be my favorite time killer game right there. It's like Dark Souls if you were a fish.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, dude, I've really seen footage on it. It looks pretty badass, actually. Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. That's on all of them. That's on PS4, Xbox One. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it on? It's on Switch. Or is it?
That would be gnarly if it's on Switch, but I don't know.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't know if the Switch can handle that.
Got you. All right, well, I guess one of my only other questions is, man, like, so what do you do to get ready for this stuff, man? Like, what's the setup for a live streamer, you know, today?
It's actually sometimes even longer than the stream itself because, okay. You know, you run tests, the webcam, make sure all of your audio's going correctly. My microphone I have at home is a Blue Yeti. It's the gain's completely closed on it, so the spike of getting so close to the microphone doesn't happen as easily as it does here. But going through setting up, making sure you're getting the right frames per second, because you don't want to stream a game at a lower frame FPS than what you're playing it at. Like if I'm playing it at 120, I don't want to stream it at 60.
I
want to play it at 60 or stream it at 120.
Okay.
To match that.
That makes sense. I've always wondered that, man, because it's like I said, like they always look like they're. At some point, there's a sense of frustration in their eyes when they're streaming their game. You know, I'll watch streamers every now and then. It's not something I do all the time, but when I do, I'll watch them for, you know, about maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And there's always this point where you can just see it in their eyes, like, they're just like, fuck this. You know?
So. Well, you know, man, sometimes stuff just goes wrong. Entering the PC world from console is just, like, a completely different realm. Sometimes your microphone's not picking you up for some reason. Like, I had a stream a couple of weeks ago, actually playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the remake when it came out, which, by the way, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'm on my way to 100%ing it.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, it's incredible. That's one of Zero Nine's favorites.
But for some reason, just the audio just wasn't picking up the game audio the whole time. I had people on stream trying to help me figure it out. I said it ended up shutting off the whole computer, reset the whole stream just because it wouldn't pick up game audio. It's so frustrating.
Damn it, man. Yeah.
Especially with the fire soundtrack that game has.
And then, well, I mean, I can imagine, dude, because with the attention span that people have nowadays, man, when you got to do all that, I mean, you could lose them all and you don't get them back. You know, like, I understand that, dude. Yeah, I get that, man.
I did have one question. Like, with the music wise, is it cool to actually play the music on the stream? Or, because I've heard different streamers say different things about that.
Yeah, it really varies. Like, you're not going to get demonetized for having copyrighted music on your stream, but Twitch will remove audio from that clip.
Oh, okay.
So if you have it on the stream, it's not a problem, but just be ready for your VODs and anything that you tried to record on that for that audio, including your voice track, to just be cut out completely
and only
be gameplay. Yeah.
So they'll go in and do that themselves. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, dude.
It's really a pain with, like, games with actual soundtracks. Tony Hawk Pro Skater, Fortnite, now that they have real music in the game.
Yeah.
Anytime you get in a vehicle, that'll start playing. It's kind of a hassle.
I got you. I feel you. Well, really cool, man. Really cool. We appreciate you giving us a little glimpse behind the curtain on your live streaming. And we're really excited to have you on here. We're excited to get going. Have a good podcast. With that, boys, let's go ahead. Let's get into our news. All right. First article. Let's get into it. It goes without saying that the Switch has become the prime directive for Nintendo. Any legacy content from the Wii U or 3DS is fair game for ports. We've seen it with the Switch even in just the past 3 years, as Nintendo has become the process of moving every major first-party title from the Wii U graveyard, RIP, to the next generation. Internet sleuths have found a possible hint at a potential upcoming port that just makes a whole lot of sense. Over on the official Nintendo site, an image pertaining to a Super Metroid skin and screen protector set that shows someone playing a Metroid title on a Switch has been spotted. Metroid Samus Returns, the 2017 title from the 3DS, could be in play, or of course, this could be a marketing mistake. Have any of you heard of this at all?
It just kind of
started up like in the middle of last week, and I've seen the picture myself, and people that like study this stuff are saying that it's a real picture. I didn't know that there wasn't a Metroid game on the Nintendo Switch yet.
Not
that
the original
kind of,
one.
That kind of blows my mind, dude. Holy shit. So they don't have like a, but they do have like a Metroid trilogy or.
They have.
Well, they have Prime, don't they? They have the Prime
I don't think
trilogy,
they have Prime. I was actually going to mention if they brought Prime, the Prime trilogy to the Switch, that would be a great go because the GameCube kind of flopped with that. Not the games themselves, but the console did. But, I mean, the most they got is like Super Metroid on the,
I know on the Wii U they had.
On the Nintendo Store?
Yeah. Or not the store, but like the free games you get, the free Metro games you get with
Wasn't on the Wii U, was Other M? Was that Metro Other M or Wii U, or was that Wii?
Wii. That was the one where Samus talked, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Great game.
I heard
didn't
a lot,
like that she talked.
I heard a lot of people say they didn't like that game because it changed Samus's kind of character.
Mm-hmm. I'm in that group.
Maybe that's what Todd was talking about, especially with the whole talking thing. Yeah.
Samus like talking. Link talked.
Hmm?
That's like Link talking.
Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
In which game?
Manga. The cartoon. And the manga,
oh,
too.
Well, yeah, the cartoon, I remember, yeah.
And the manga, and the manga he talks, too.
I can't wait to bomb some Dodongos.
Yeah, dude, that was really bad, that cartoon.
But, yeah, like I said, in the a lot of the manga that have the Legend of Zelda stuff, he talks in that.
Okay.
He doesn't talk a lot, but he does talk.
Okay. Well, there's been hints, like I said. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky. We'll have an actual, from the ground floor up, made for the Switch Samus game.
That'd be nice. They need it.
They
Samus
do,
on the
do.
Go.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Nintendo, though, have you guys seen this Game & Watch that's come out the past week?
Mm-mm.
It's this little mini console that's come out that apparently was supposed to be super rare. I don't see it being super rare. I see everybody getting it. I see, but every time somebody posts that they got it, they're like, oh, man, I actually found one. And some of them will have, like, two of them.
Didn't we talk about this, like,
yeah, it was one of their 35th anniversary things.
Yeah, we talked about the announcement of it.
Yeah,
but now that it's out, it's like, it's almost like people are manufacturing scarcity for this thing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's how we were talking about with the what was it, Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to manufacture scarcity just to hack. You know, that's the
Zero
you know.
Was worried about that. Yeah, being able to get a hold of that one, and it turned out, dude, like it was fine. They had plenty of inventory. Did they not? I mean.
Yeah, they had stacks of them.
Yeah, dude. So and there were people. I remember texting y'all whenever the posts were coming out. There were people that bought 5 or 10 copies of that game, and then like a week later,
Damn
they're completely
scalpers.
In stock again.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, I knew not to get extra when I saw the stack of it. I mean, that was the whole principle behind the '90s comic boom with Spawn. Like everybody's like, oh, this is gonna be great, and now that comic's like, I don't know, $10.
Yeah, dude. But yeah, so I'll keep an ear out for it. If I hear anything, I'll definitely update the page. Obviously, you guys will know about it, and we'll go from there.
Gee, thanks.
All right, here we go. All right, next article. According to Robert Serrano, a gaming business analyst, Konami is planning to unveil the long-rumored Silent Hill reboot at the upcoming Game Awards on December 10th. The event will be streaming live from London, Los Angeles, and Tokyo. The title is allegedly going to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive and take the franchise back to its horror roots. The development began in 2019. Speculations about the reboot ran wild in the past months, but nothing was set in stone. Konami also launched an official Silent Hill Twitter account in the summer, stirring up the fan base.
I know it's got one follower.
Rumors have also pointed to the Silent Hill PS5 reboot, bringing back original Silent Hill director Keiko Toyama, along with the legendary composer of Silent Hill 2, Akira Yamaoka, which, yeah, that's the OG right there.
Are they going to have Norman Reedus in this one, too?
I hope so. Now, I'm pretty sure the whole Kojima thing is completely done, dude. Like, that's completely dead. It's not going
to
happen.
So, is this Silent Hill going to have anything to do with PT? Because wasn't PT a playable trailer for Silent Hill that had Norman Reedus at the end?
Yeah. And that was the Kojima Del Toro little era of it. And that's been completely severed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been brought up, especially on this podcast, multiple times, but... It's never gonna happen, dude.
By one guy.
I never would have thought. Yeah. So is it like a requirement for y'all to talk about Konami at least once a podcast with this guy?
It's not a requirement, but it happens.
Yeah,
it does happen a lot.
It does happen. But yeah, man, Silent Hill, and it would really be cool if it was a PlayStation 5 exclusive. I doubt it's going to be. If there's a Silent Hill being made right now, they're gonna make their money. So they're not gonna lock it down to one console, I don't think. It is really cool that that they're getting the original director, and the music director is really important to me. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the soundtracks of these games, mm-hmm. but they're really, really fun.
But I don't
good.
Know. They might keep it a console exclusive just because, especially with Xbox doing the whole taking
with Bethesda. With Bethesda, yeah.
Yeah, but see, they haven't said they're locking Bethesda stuff to
exclusives. Okay, but same statement for the other team, though, man. If they lock that all that shit down to one console,
yeah, Bethesda,
they're only going to make money on, you know, from that one console. That's just as fucking stupid. So I don't agree with either one of those. Honestly, as much as I love PlayStation, I'm not really believing in exclusives anymore, or as much as I used to. You know, it's just I don't know. It's not necessary. If anybody wants to play the game, they should be able to play the damn game. All right, next article. Let's get into it. AEW had been teasing that we would get a big announcement on its first foray into video games since opening up shop, and now we finally have the first details on its jump to console gaming. AEW revealed that the new details on its first ever AEW game special event, and that's where we learned that AEW has teamed up with Yuke's, which I'm actually really excited about. It's been a long time since we've seen these guys.
The original team of Yuke's.
Yeah. That's incredible that they got them together. Who used to develop the WWE 2K series before Visual Concepts took over with WWE 2K20 on a brand new series. During the event, Kenny Omega confirmed Yuke's involvement. A release date and title were not revealed, though initial footage involving Omega, Chris Jericho, and...
Hikaru Shida
was shown. Todd, this is your realm.
Well, yeah.
How did you feel about the event itself? Let's talk about that real quick before we talk about the actual game.
Man, when I saw Kenny Omega, who, mind you, is my favorite wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
When I saw him walk in and have the black turtleneck and throw on the glasses.
That shit threw me off so fucking quick. I was like, are they doing the... they're doing the Apple thing. Holy shit.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Well, at first I was like, okay, he looks like a nerd. That's funny. Yeah. And then they had Aubrey Edwards, a referee who also used to work in mobile games. So you had her come out. She ripped off the referee shirt and revealed the exact same thing and threw on the glasses. And it had me rolling, man.
Yuke's with wrestling games, like, I used to like the wrestling games when Yuke's did them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When the 2K series started going more without them.
Yeah.
It seems like the games kind of got really bland and is very generic.
And you got to keep in mind now what Todd, you said the original Yuke's. Now, are we talking about the original guys?
We're talking Nintendo 64.
Okay, that's what I was.
No Mercy, which is agreed upon by a lot of the community that was the best wrestling game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ever. Wasn't some of the SmackDowns by Yuke's too?
Yes, SmackDown. Well, Yuke's handled pretty much all the WWF games up until Geta left the company in like 2000s.
Okay. Early 2000s. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that's why I like those games more. Yeah. I like some of the
SmackDown on the PlayStation, and then SmackDown 2 Know Your Role were two of some of the best wrestling games on PlayStation.
Just Bring It was probably my
WCW
favorite.
WCW versus NWO. That was the 64.
Oh, yeah. That was one I was going to bring up, but that wasn't Yuke's. It was a good game, though. Yeah.
And No Mercy. I could play No Mercy forever.
Yeah, man. Yeah, really cool stuff. Now, judging by the character animations and the aesthetic of the game, we're probably looking at the same kind of gameplay, too, that we were used to back in the day. What do you think, Todd?
Man, I think Kenny Omega is onto something. Because Kenny Omega is not just a wrestler. He's a gamer by heart. He grew up in Japan. He was born in Canada, moved to Japan to become a pro wrestler, and really picked up on the gaming atmosphere. You know, it's a way of life in Japan.
Yeah.
Arcades are always packed. I think he's really onto something when he says he wants a game that's easy to pick up but hard to master.
Okay. What could that be? I mean, it just has me thinking, man. Because they can pretty much do whatever they want at this point. You know what I mean? Like, this is all new ground, dude. I don't see anybody really telling them what to do with this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're so confident in it that they're claiming it's going to be a reset button for fighting games everywhere.
Really?
That's the confidence.
That's a massive
statement.
Yeah, man.
I mean, because...
You better deliver.
Fighting games have been...
There's some big balls in that
I was going to say. Because, you got Tekken, you have Street Fighter, you have...
Guilty Gear. That 20, even though I didn't play it myself, I heard from tons of people that 20 was a disaster.
2K20, man, don't even get me started. Yeah, you'd walk into the ring and just fall through.
Like, QA didn't even exist in that game. Like, it didn't even happen for that game. You know what I mean? Like, the quality was the lowest the series had ever seen before. And it's a brand new title. You know what I mean?
I don't know who's in charge of the gaming side of WWE. I don't think it's Vince, but whoever it is fired the team that made 2K up until I think 2K14 was the last good one. Mm-hmm. And then they brought in a new team and fired that team again. And then a new team made 2K20. And it was, you could tell that the new team that they brought in did not know what they were doing.
I mean, I remember playing. And you know what? I did. I played a little bit of the storyline. the or whatever you want to call it, the campaign or whatever it was.
Career mode.
Career mode, yeah. It was very, very storied. Like, you even started out in, I think, a high school cafeteria or some shit. It was fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah, you did. I played that, too, and I got bored of it.
Yeah.
And ended up just...
There's no immersion. It's just, no. I don't feel like I'm in a WWE universe. I feel like I'm playing a video game. I want to feel like I'm inside the universe.
And you being the fan you are, that means something. Like, people, like, they got to listen to guys like you. You know what I mean? if they want to start selling games again, man.
Definitely.
Okay, man. Well, really cool. We'll definitely look out for that. Todd, we'll probably get an update from you when that does come out. They didn't have a release date yet, but I'm assuming probably sometime next year, most likely.
Mind me one thing before we get off this topic.
Yeah.
They brought in Geta. I can't pronounce his full name. It's in a foreign language in Japanese. I can't pronounce. But it's the same person that was head director of No Mercy and the first two Def Jam games. Def Jam Vendetta and Def Jam Fight for New York. Who's behind making... the AEW game, head director behind that. So I'm having high hopes.
That's huge because, honestly, okay, so here's what happened with Def Jam Vendetta, man. Def Jam Vendetta started out as a WWE game.
Yeah.
That's what it was supposed to be at first. Things went, you know, awry, and I think they lost license for some reason. Something happened. They weren't happy with the game, pretty much, I think. So they pretty much stripped out all of the models, and that's when the whole rapper thing came up. Like, it was random as hell that they decided to do that. But everybody knows the gameplay for Def Jam Vendetta and Def Jam Fight for New York.
Well, see, I was about to say, Fight for New York's way better.
It's one of the greatest. In my opinion, it's one of the greatest gameplay as far as fighting games go. It's one of the greatest. And that's why it's also about, if you want to get a copy of it, it's at least like 70, 80 bucks even now.
I still say they need to remake it. They need to remake it for...
I can tell you right now, if they remake it, they're going to have to go with all new rappers.
Yeah, there's no way they get the same licensing.
Yeah, they're not getting those guys back.
I hope not, because I hate a lot of new rappers. So, you know what? I'll stick with the older systems as long as I can...
Mumble Attack, go!
Okay. Oh, goddamn.
I'm trying to see a little Pump Pile Drive Lil Peep, man.
Yeah. Maybe they'll throw... Yeah, Travis Scott's like the big guy.
So you're saying nobody wants to beat up Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Uh-oh.
I mean, nobody wants to beat up Tekashi.
He plays the role of a snitch.
I mean, you get in there, you'll have like 16 different little someones.
Yeah. Little Xanax, little Pump, little...
It'll just be a faction. Yachty, the little faction.
The little faction.
Lil Uzi Vert.
It's almost like they have a distribution center.
I know one of them's dead, though, right?
I'm sure there's a couple Lils that are dead, honestly.
Had a little too much.
Shit. Uh-oh. All right. God damn it. Let's get into our last little topic, guys. So we all got hands-on with the PS5 recently. And
speak for yourself.
Except for good boy Todd, but Todd, in due time.
You could have shown up the other night.
in due time, Todd. What I wanted to go over real quick, the big breadwinner in this, in my opinion, would have been the controller. And I wanted to talk about that real quick. You've all had your experience with the controller.
Yeah.
I want to see what you guys have to say about it. Tim, we can start with you, man. How did you feel about it? What was just, you know, like,
for
what
me,
was your experience
the
with
adaptive
it?
Triggers are... what is going to do it for me. I can't wait to see what it's actually going to be like in a racing game.
Like, yeah, that's going to be pretty...
Especially if you think your triggers are either your gas or your brake, and then if they use those adaptive buttons for, like, if you have a manual transmission.
Yeah.
You know, when you're driving.
Or doing, like, paddle shifting, pretty much.
Now, it's worth saying that both the Switch and, I believe the Xbox One had some kind of a haptic feedback in their triggers also.
Yeah, but
I know the Switch
near
does.
This level.
Yeah, but that's what I was gonna say. But this is a whole different tier. Like, I'm trying to think of a way to explain it to Todd, but dude, it's one of those things, man. Like, you really can't explain it because you gotta feel.
You gotta feel it. You really gotta.
Yeah, dude, it's really hard to explain, man.
Man, I think that the triggers are overrated. I'll say it.
No, hey, dude, your opinion is valid here, dude. Don't worry about it.
I'll cut that out, too.
Yeah.
that's not even me coming from a hater standpoint. I just think this is something that's extremely hard to make sound good through words.
And it is. No, yeah. I 100% agree with that, dude. I can sit here and tell you, like, oh, it's awesome, because when you press on it, it gives back.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. But until you use it in
games... It's like squeezing a real titty versus a fake titty.
But if you don't know what a real titty feels like, the fake titty is just fine.
It's like a bag of sand, right? Yeah, it's like a bag of sand.
Bag of sand. You heard it here first, guys. But yeah, so the controller itself is definitely something that's an experience in itself. You got to just try it out and you got to feel it. Playing in Astro's Playroom, there was a lot of different things... that you could do with the controller itself. Zero played, and he actually played a level that you guys didn't see called GPU Jungle.
Ooh.
And yeah, it was pretty damn awesome, man. One of the things that Zero was doing in there was this monkey suit, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. It was like a monkey suit that he jumped into, and then you had to zip him up, and you had to, like, climb the wall. But the way he was doing it, he had to... Go ahead.
You had to shift the controller to, like, you know, raise his arm and then grab by pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
And then shift the controller back the other way to raise his other arm and then grab. And so, like, there's a series of basically, like, monkey bar climbing, you know, a ladder or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's... And there's a level of tedium to it because, first of all, you're like, fuck this, I didn't buy a Switch.
Exactly. for real.
But it is pretty cool to where it kind of shows the capabilities of, hey, we can compete with a Switch where you have to move and everything. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty good game.
And see, honestly, man, outside of the gimmick bullshit that you knew they were going to bring into whatever pack-in game they gave you, I'll honestly say, man, that I loved the level design. I loved the character design. I thought that these were all, like, really cool, you know, it was something that was worth playing and worth seeing.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right?
Yeah. No.
As far as the villains and as far as, like, the boss fights.
Right. It was actually really cool. I mean...
It really screamed Nintendo to me.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, like, not just, like, the style of the game, but the attention to detail, whether it's gameplay or the villains or, you know, the Easter eggs that are all over the place.
Right, right.
It really screamed Nintendo to me, and that's a compliment. You know what I mean? Like, that's a compliment to be able to say that.
I was thoroughly fucked by it not having inverted.
Oh, levels. Yeah, talk about that. Yeah, so Zero is an inverted player.
Oh, yeah, no, I know he is.
Well, no. But in his level, though, dude, he had to use a bow and arrow for a boss fight.
Oh, no.
Dude, it took him, like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 times. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, it was like 5 tries, solid.
But we're talking about literally, like, 3 hits is right. All it was going to take to knock, or 4 hits and all, that it was going to take to knock this guy out. And
he could,
man, it was killing him, dude. I could see it, man. Like, it was, inverted needs to be a thing for everything. I don't understand why that's not in every single game. What else didn't have inverted recently?
Well, Fall Guys didn't.
Fall Guys.
But they added it.
They did add it in
there. Okay, yeah. Yeah, inverted needs to be a thing for all games. That's just how it needs to be.
I like the mic.
Maybe not Tetris. Good. I don't think you would need invert on Tetris.
No, not unless you got like a full 3D, you know, like Rubik's Cube type Tetris.
Well, even that Tetris effect doesn't need anything inverted.
3D Tetris was a little lame on the Virtual Boy.
That was horrible.
Well, that's the console's fault. We'll admit it.
Because everything was red.
Yeah. Well, it still wasn't great on 64 either.
Was there one on 64?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that shit like burning people's retinas and shit at some point? Is that...
I used to play it on the toilet.
But no, dude, I like the mic for the PS... For the
controller. Yeah.
Because we ended up having a conversation from my phone to his... PlayStation, and you could hear him clear as day.
Yeah. And so when I first got the PlayStation, I saw that Trunks was online, which I was thinking he's online at home on his PlayStation playing something or whatever. And I saw that he was online, so I voice chatted him real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the PS5 went from his PlayStation 4, which was obviously he wasn't there, and it was turned off to directly to his cell phone.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him in his cell phone. He was driving home, and I had no idea the whole time. I thought he was sitting in his room. And apparently, from like what Trunks was saying, the microphone and the controller was fine. You know what I mean? Like, because the PS4 microphone is garbage. It's terrible.
I mean, hell, it was picking me up from across the room.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Trunks had.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's true. Yeah, I'm not sure where the mic level was at on that, but I definitely don't, shoot it all the way up.
Yeah, the CIA has really stepped their game up, man.
They're everywhere.
The bad thing is, I took the controller and held it as far as my arm could go, and Tim's on the other side of the room. And you could still see the what's called light up every time he talked. So it's like, man, the mic is badass on this thing.
Yeah, so you can definitely tell that they put some work into this thing, man. I think that both consoles have their place right now, for sure. I think Xbox does things that PlayStation doesn't do very well. I think PlayStation does things that Xbox doesn't do very well.
Like what?
And then PC. And then PC, of course, is always going to be superior in performance and visuals. You're paying for the experience, you're paying for the UI, you're paying for all that other shit that goes into it, man.
And none of them are as good as mushrooms.
Yeah, we're DMT. Yeah, we can't argue with that, man. Can't argue with that. You know what, dude? I actually found some mushrooms in my father-in-law's cow yard. Are those the mushrooms you eat?
Yeah. I don't know. Eat them and find out.
Yes.
How do you prepare mushrooms, like, under cow shit? Do you just pick them and dry them out?
You can pick them and dry them out, or you can just eat them right there.
Eat them right there. I'll pick them and dry them, though.
I should have picked them, dude. I would have gave them to y'all.
I would have ate them.
Yeah, I bet you
for sure.
I'd give them a shot.
Yeah.
Why the fuck not?
Lock everybody in the room and do a podcast with them. All right, boys, and with that, that is the news. Let's go ahead and get into our next segment, Rut-Row Retro. All right, guys, this episode's Rut-Row is a 1994 American comedy film written by Rich Wilkes and directed by Michael Lemon. It stars Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler. We're talking about Airheads. This is a film about a band of loser musicians who stage a hijacking of a radio station in order to get airplay for their demo recording.
Yep.
Yeah, so this one was...
Can I say something real quick?
Go for it.
This the intro of the... You already
know this. Did I set the tone already, I guess, for this one?
Yes. A little bit.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, so let's talk about Airheads, guys. Trunks, how'd you feel about it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Todd, how'd you feel about it?
How do you have a movie with such all-stars that puts me to sleep before it's even halfway done?
Right, dude? Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
So the movie follows. It opens up with one of our main roles, one of three. They're all in a band, the Lone Rangers.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you pluralize the Lone Ranger?
So, yeah. So Brendan Fraser plays Chaz. He's pretty much the band's lead. And... Steve Buscemi plays Rex. Adam Sandler plays Pip. Pip's the drummer. Rex is the... Is Rex the bassist?
Bassist.
Yeah, yeah. So lead guitar, bassist, drums. They're a band that is trying to make it big, like a lot of them were in this little era right here. They're in Los Angeles. It opens up with Brendan Fraser's character, Chaz, which we later find out. His name is Chester Biglum or something like that, right?
Chester.
Yeah, Chester. Yeah, so Chaz is... disguised as a delivery guy.
Yeah.
And he's making his way into this record label, so obviously to try to drop off his band's demo. It kind of just, you know, dude, it kind of just goes from there to... you just stop caring. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to say that, dude, because, I mean, we need to have a discussion about it, but damn it, man.
It goes from there. It seems like he went in here trying to get this thing going... His girl left him, then they held up place. There was no in-between, nothing.
Well, okay, so hold on. Let me at least try at this, okay? So he ends up getting kicked out of the record label, obviously. He goes back home. His girlfriend comes over, who apparently has a job as a receptionist, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she's like a receptionist in the office. It doesn't really matter. But
no one cared.
Yeah, but so they end up getting in a fight because he doesn't have a job. He says his job is to make it big as a heavy metal band. He didn't do that, that day, I guess like a lot of other days, so she kicks him out. Then we get introduced to Rex, who works at
a toy store.
Yeah, he's a guy that works in a toy store, which that also comes into play in the plot, too, though. Yeah, he ends up taking home a bunch of, like, what was it, man?
Rejected toys.
It was, defective toys or whatever. That was actually kind of a cool scene, because it reminded me of a lot of different things.
The guns were rejected because they looked too real.
Yeah, because they looked too real.
They were water guns.
But you also saw, a bunch of different... You saw, like, a Stretch Armstrong back there. He brought Pip home a fucking... stuffed dummy doll.
Remember? Yeah, the crash test
dummies. Yeah, the crash test dummies dolls. So that was something I completely forgot about. So that's pretty cool as far as the nostalgia goes. I liked the whole toy aspect of it. Going from there, they pretty much... Chaz gets to the point with the other two to tell him, like, man, we got to do something different here. Like, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. We haven't made it big. Do you ever hear their music, actually? I'm trying to...
Yeah, right at the end.
At the very end, okay.
Oh, look, hey, no, like, they play it in the middle at some point while it's on the reel.
I know they try to, but...
It catches on fire.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. Before it could even get to, like, vocals or anything like that,
you hear, like, 5 seconds of the intro.
Because, yeah.
So let me surmise this.
Go ahead.
If Airheads was in 2020, mm-hmm. We need to get our music heard. Okay, well, here's $50. We'll just put it on DistroKid.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
Yeah, that's it. No, for real. That's
you stick it on YouTube.
You hit the nail right on the head, dude. That would be the whole fucking movie.
Put it on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
I do got to ask, though, are we doing the Airheads movie on this podcast because of the recent, I think it was a Ubisoft hostage situation?
No.
Okay. No, explain that.
Oh, I think it was
Ubisoft. They got swatted.
They got swatted?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what I don't know too much of it. I just saw a headline of it on my watch. But
yeah, Ubisoft Montreal.
Yeah, okay. I guess they had some sort of hostage situation there or something.
No, SWAT is when, like, someone random calls and be like, they send SWAT to a place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know that.
There's no situation at all.
The headline I saw said hostage situation, I thought.
That's what they thought it was at first.
Oh, but you're saying they got SWATted and that's what... Oh, okay.
Some random person decided to have them SWATted.
Okay. That's hostage... They said it was... Got it.
So SWATting's still a thing, huh? That's still happening? So,
yeah, man.
Apparently. Oh, yeah.
You can still be that anonymous with shit like that?
Just get yourself a little Nokia brick phone.
Really?
Oh, throw it away?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, some kind of TOS phone or set yourself up on your computer with a proxy server.
Yeah.
Make someone think you're in Netherlands.
So, all right, yeah. So our guys decide that they're going to try one more time. This is after they go to a show and they see another band that's made it or whatever through a certain radio station.
Weren't they watching TV? And
no, they're at a
show. They went to a show.
Yeah, it was a show. And the band that was there.
Steel Thunder or something like that.
Yeah, there's a DJ that gets
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
That's what it was.
I remember the guy had a dress on for some reason.
Which is like the second Thor reference because Steve Buscemi has a Thor tattoo. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't notice that, actually.
I didn't either.
So, all right. Sons of Thunder. Sons of Thunder got help from a local DJ that worked at this radio station. This guy's Ian the Shark, played by Joe... I can't remember how to pronounce his last... Criminal Minds guy. The big guy in Criminal Minds.
Joe Montana.
There you go. Joe Montana.
Montana.
What does that remind me? What does that remind me of?
Because it's from another... it's from Waterboy.
The Waterboy. Yes. That's what it was. Yeah.
Joe Montana.
Oh. You dumbass.
You want to talk about a good movie? Let's watch Waterboy.
Right. Yeah, there you go, man. Yeah, so they make one more attempt to get their demo played. Now, I did find it interesting that instead of bringing a cassette tape into the studio, they brought a... What was it? A 10-centimeter reel?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was up with that again?
It was 1994.
Yeah. Well, I remember master track would kind of be on.
Well, I remember Chaz saying something about the audio or something, the cassette tape made his audio, like his vocals sound weird or something. And that's why he brought in this.
Probably because of the compression onto it.
Yeah. Okay. So things go south with that, and that's whenever Rex, which for some reason he had the Uzi on him.
Rex and Chaz both had toy Uzis.
Yeah. Okay. Remind me again, you guys, help me out.
How people found out that they were toys?
No. Were they already planning on...
No, they weren't planning. They weren't planning on holding it up.
So why did they have the guns on them?
Because they brought them...
Yeah, they were talking on the air, and then the station manager, decides to come in and start talking crap.
I know that.
No, we're talking about, like, why did they bring the guns with them?
Into the record studio, or the radio station,
The original plan wasn't them holding them up. It was just breaking in and...
The movie's so stupid. I don't think there was a reason. I'm gonna be honest.
All right, so yeah, so I mean, there's our think. First
Rex
question.
Rex is a crazy dude in the movie. So
is this a Happy Madison's production? It better not be.
No, I don't think it was before. But it had a lot of the same guys.
Chris Farley and all that. Which I freaking love Chris Farley. Rest in peace.
Yeah,
he was hilarious as the cop.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that guy's always a trip.
Yeah,
God, when he rips out that dude's nipple ring.
Oh my god, that shit would look,
at it, it's got a little chunk of the nipple still on it.
Yeah, well, because the guy rips his badge off and like tears the back piece of the badge
off. Well, he bites it, dude. Yeah, he bites the...
And it's like, why are you... Idiot.
Well, I don't know, they probably thought that nothing was going to happen because...
It's a fat cop.
Because it's Chris Farley.
That and what cop would ever just straight rip someone's nipple ring out? Without provocation.
I mean, there was provocation.
Yeah, in that instance, there was. But
so the band,
the LAPD.
So the band, the Sons of Thunder. Are you guys familiar with a band called Galactic Cowboys?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, that was the actual band. How do you know them?
My cousin actually listened to them. Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, not Asen.
No. I'll know. Never mention that name again.
I can't believe I named him.
I know that White Zombie, or Rob Zombie, played his role in here, too. He was in there at a show. They were White Zombie at the time.
Yeah, cool.
Of it, So Lemmy makes an appearance here.
Mm-hmm. He's in the crowd. Like, when he's saying, like, I was a nerd, And he was like, yeah, I managed my...
A brief appearance in the crowd outside the radio station. Okay, as the editor of a school magazine.
Yeah.
You're right, you're right. There was some really cool music in here, though. There was some really cool tracks in here. A couple of them, we had Born to Raise Hell by Motorhead, I'm the One, you know, Eddie Van Halen. The White Zombie song was Feed the Gods. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a really good one. Why do I feel like I should remember Candlebox, but I don't? But yeah, I had some really good music in here. At least there's that, man, right?
Yeah.
We're skipping over the fact when they finally...
We're going back to it.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah.
We can't skip over the fact that the crazy dude who, when they finally decided to
leave it
up.
To Trunks to bring up an obscure part that we didn't give a shit about when we watched.
No, that was probably the best part.
For this the guy in the vent?
Yeah. Yes, the guy in the vent.
Yeah, that the guy in the vent.
When he found himself on fire?
Yeah, they pretty much cut to this guy like every 15 minutes in the movie. And honestly, they really needed to because... Just to see something different in the movie because, yeah, man, something needed to cut this up a little bit for sure.
Because,
and that's what that was their answer to it.
So. That's why you use a diamond powdered sugar?
Yeah. All right, so they end up holding up the radio station. Pip gets this little romantic thing going on with it. Who was this girl again? She was
the receptionist.
She was the receptionist there also, and that was the joke that Zero was the talk. Is it her? Is she the one that said that?
Yeah,
that little line. That
yeah. There's a point where, man, we're fucking this movie all up.
Yeah,
but there's a point where he goes in there and he's all like, yeah, we're switching to easy listening, and everybody's getting laid off.
Yeah,
and then she just kind of like looks down and is like, all those blowjobs for nothing.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah. That's pretty bad, man.
That's like the darkest moment of this movie.
Yeah. No shit. But
poor Ernie Hudson's in this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot, dude. I mean, well, like we said, there's a lot of good talent in here, man. It's just...
It was just put horribly.
Yeah. I agree.
When they started demanding, you know, new pictures of B. Arthur and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Why B. Arthur?
Yeah. So, all right. So, let's get back to it real quick. So, at this point, they've taken the radio station hostage. They have the DJ. They have the big guy.
Yeah, the station manager.
Yeah, they have the station manager. They have...
the one random black guy.
I think he was their
audio engineer.
Yeah, he was something like that. He was the guy in the back with all the equipment and stuff. And then...
And that one black chick who... Adam Sandler's character, like, befriends and is like...
Yeah.
Yvonne. Oh, yeah. She's one of the first ones they let go, actually.
Mm-hmm. She is the first one they let go.
Yeah.
Did it just hurt me that whole scene? He's like, why do you people hate, you know, hate white people?
Why do black people hate me?
Yeah. I listen to him. I'm just like, oh my god, no.
Yeah, and he
No.
When you're like going to the store and the clerk's just staring at you like you're gonna steal something. I mean,
I like how though she's like, that's never happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, that's never happened to me. Has that happened to you? And that's when he started backing out of the conversation because he didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
I was like, god.
Yeah, it's a great film. Yeah, fantastic.
You can tell we're ripping this thing apart.
It is what it is, man. It is what it is.
Hey, but I will say that Uzi was a nice way to put your hot sauce on a burrito.
Yeah.
He didn't even eat the rest of that burrito.
I know.
This movie sucks.
It worked. It worked, though, didn't it? I guess. I don't know.
Like, that pisses you off even more. It's like, you didn't even finish the goddamn burrito.
Yeah.
Like, nobody heated that burrito up. It was just a burrito that was sitting out.
Yeah.
Very symbolic for the movie.
So when the cops finally get involved, they have their negotiator talking to Chaz throughout the entire situation, and he's played by Reggie Cavey. No, he's not. He's played by
that's Ernie Hudson.
Yeah. So and he keeps coming in throughout the film, just talking to Chaz or whatever. Every now and then, they'll get him to actually release a hostage. They start making up all these crazy demands. Mm-hmm. So that they can...
One of which was a PRS with a dragon inlay.
Yeah.
Which, fuck that guitar, by the way. I absolutely hate PRS.
Don't like
guitars.
The PRS, huh?
No.
No. Why not?
They're crap. They're super expensive crap.
Were they popular or something in 94?
They're still fucking popular.
Oh, are they?
And they're still crap.
It's like a birdhouse board for skating.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oof. Damn, dude.
That's accurate.
Holy shit. Yeah, so they keep coming up with all these crazy demands. Now the guy that came up with this idea was actually David Arquette's character that comes in every now and then. He's obviously just a throwaway character, comedy relief, whatever. He's got his 311 bleached blonde hair and shit.
311 never happened.
He just hey, comes, the surfer guy wants back in.
Yeah, yeah, he just keeps coming in and out of it. But yeah, he came up with this idea to keep asking for crazy demands so that, what was it, at some point...
They could plead insanity.
Yeah, they could plead insanity in court. It was stuff like a baby bottle, like a huge baby
a
bottle.
A giant baby bottle.
Yeah.
Because that was used to disarm Michael Richards from the Mint.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's yeah. right.
And a helmet full of cottage cheese.
A helmet full of cottage yeah. cheese.
And they got all of
this. Yeah, yeah. There was a bunch. Yeah. They kept bringing it in, I remember. And Rex, you know, Rex kept freaking out about it. Like, dude, how are they getting all this shit?
Well, yeah. I mean, hell, the record label had a fucking helicopter fly a stage out.
Yeah. Which, by that way, that helicopter was from the first original Resident Evil 2.
Oh, wow.
No.
Really? Okay.
the CGI level yeah. was the exact same.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Woo, yeah.
I thought it was like Deathclaw coming in with their stage.
So they finally get their or they get their demo played on the 10 centimeter, and like we say, it burns up.
Yeah.
Because a film like that is extremely flammable, so why wouldn't it burn up?
Actually, that's not film.
What is it?
That's magnetic tape, and it's not yeah. flammable.
It's not flammable?
It just melts.
Well, okay, well, I know the film's really flammable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was my only reference.
8mm film is flammable.
That's my only reference to all that, so.
No, it's not flammable. It would just fucking melt and snap.
Yeah, but in that situation, it would have still been fucked, right? Or no?
No, honestly, I mean, I've worked
probably
with
still
analog
it?
Audio. You could clip it and put it back in, and yeah. it's just fine.
That's oh, how, shit. That's how editing audio used to work. Queen, yeah. they were the gods at it. Snip, yeah. snip, put it together.
Yep. Yeah, you had your leader and all that stuff. I remember reading a little bit
Dude,
about this.
I still laughed when people started getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the black guy runs out, it's damn near, they tackle the black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, yes.
And then
yeah.
seconds later, they're shouting, Rodney King,
yes.
Rodney King,
yes,
Rodney
yes,
King.
Yes, yes, yes.
With like... Like
Chaz starts that, right? Like he goes out there and starts
no,
that.
That was Rex that started the Rodney
no,
King.
No, no, I think it was Chaz.
I thought it was Chaz.
Rex starts the Chaz.
Yeah,
Chaz.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm glad you guys remember.
And him running out there grabbing
all
his
of which,
dick
all
and
of which was pointless because like they don't explain who Rodney King is in this movie.
No,
yeah, and like if you have no, you know, if I set my kid down to watch this, and he'd be like, yeah. "Who the fuck's Rodney King?" And they're just like, "That's that guy." That's, yeah. I mean, man, no, there's
yeah.
a whole explanation
if,
for it.
If you didn't have prior,
RPD.
If you didn't have prior reference to a couple of these things, then you probably won't know what the fuck's going on. Like, if somebody watched this today, like you know, maybe somebody Todd's age or younger, and the whole Beavis and Butthead part, that's not explained. It's just there. But in, you know, 94, you would know who that was, but nobody would know who the fuck that is right now.
This yeah. movie came out before I was fucking born. Like, I didn't get it.
So, yeah.
Apparently, neither did they.
Another big part of the story that comes into play is Chaz's girlfriend, because they messed up their first demo, so the only other demo tape they have, apparently,
that
is...
That she threw out.
Yeah.
Out of the car.
Is, yeah, in what or was in her possession that she throws out of the car, and throughout the movie, you see it kind of almost getting destroyed over and over again.
And I'm sorry, that cassette would have been destroyed by that lowrider.
Oh, yeah, you saw that too, yeah. I mean, I thought that was going to be the point where it broke, honestly, because they were super close to it. The dog peeing on it, I don't know if that would have done anything to it or not. I don't know.
Made it smell bad.
Yeah. I don't know.
And then after she gets it to them, then she throws the chair through the window because...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which, honestly, the chair through the window wouldn't have destroyed the board. Like, those boards were fucking tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why they were just like, oh, yeah, here's a chair on top of it.
They just wanted to have a window break or shatter in the movie, probably.
I'm just like, crazy. What the fuck? So you brought this here so we could get on the air, so we could, mm-hmm. you know, maybe get famous. Then your crazy ass just decides, you know what, screw it, I'm going to throw a chair.
Yeah, the whole situation with the girlfriend and everything, yeah, that went absolutely fucking nowhere. That was the
running argument between the two of them of, I wrote that song for you. You wrote it before you even met me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, but at the end of it, the solution to all that was nothing, dude. There was nothing there. You didn't need it in the movie.
But remember, if you're going to make it big, you got to lip sync.
Yeah, so I'll be completely honest with you. Going after that, after the whole situation with the girlfriend, it goes really hazy for me. I don't remember a lot of the end of it. But what I do remember, okay, so do they end up going to jail or not? I'm just curious.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. They go to jail. They record in prison. Actually, Actually, you know, the two brothers,
yeah,
when they get out of jail, they actually steal a cop car, and then they're driving through town, and then they run through this pipe to get out into the desert, but the pipe isn't, like, fully built. So the cop car flies out of the pipe, and it gets saved by, because they were running through all of this fungus.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, you know what? That's Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, you fucking asshole. God damn it. Son of a bitch. I had, dude.
Every episode.
Which was way better than Airheads.
Fuck you. This retro's over, dude. Good. Oh, man.
Oh, you're not even going to talk about Steve Buscemi air grinding towards the other inmates?
I don't even remember that part because that's right at
yeah,
the end.
Yeah, that's right at the end. I don't remember any of that shit, dude. I'm sorry, man. Like, this is one for dude, the
that,
books, dude.
That one where he's like, I'm going to get chaps and just cut out the whole middle.
The crotch.
The crotch. Yeah.
That is like, chaps.
I do love it sucks, man, too, because, I mean, you love Steve Buscemi, or I love Steve Buscemi. You know, I love Adam Sandler. Brendan Fraser, pretty much every movie he's done is in my book, man. I love that stuff.
Was Brendan Fraser the one in, what was that movie with Pauly Shore and the caveman?
Encino Man. That was actually our last row. Yeah, that was a good one. We had a lot of fun with that one. This one was...
So you're an avid listener?
Yeah.
So every day.
This one was not so good. No, not, but, you know... You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, no, I think we lost on this one.
I think I had fond memories of it before watching
it. I did, dude. Yeah. I did. And especially with Brendan Fraser's character, which honestly, I still liked Brendan Fraser in this movie. I just didn't like the movie.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I can't think of a Brendan Fraser movie I liked, actually.
Oh, dude, there's a lot of them. Did you ever see Blast from the Past?
No.
That's the one where it's like taking place in the 50s or whatever. And well, that's pretty good.
Mummy.
Usually,
the Mummy.
I mean, yeah, the Mummy.
Never saw the Mummy either.
The Mummy's Mummy, good, well, yeah. The Mummy and the Mummy Returns are really good. I don't know. Yeah. I never watched the third.
Scorpion King?
No, not Scorpion King. That was the one with the Rock. Dragon King.
Yeah. Scorpion King has
the Dragon King was the last one with
him. Yeah, with Jet Li.
I still haven't finished that one.
What was that movie with two Jet Lis? The One?
That's the One.
That movie was a lot badass.
There was a lot of Jet Lis in that.
I have that.
Oh, yeah.
There's
128
of them.
Yep. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Damn. Good trivia. Drunks, damn.
I watched that movie way too much.
We had the VHS at the house. Whew.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and close the book. That was our rut row for Airheads. If you want to see this movie, it's actually really fucking hard.
Yeah, it was hard to find.
We tried finding it. I mean, I found it one copy of the DVD at Movie Trading Company. And for some reason, this copy was $13.99. When most of their used DVDs are like $3.99 to $5, maybe?
You're never going to recoup that money.
No. It's just going to sit on the shelf, man. It's. I mean, you win some, you lose some.
So if you want to watch Airheads, just hit up Jordan.
Right? Apparently, I'm the only one with a fucking copy. Well, dude, I went to
Game Exchange. Just watch the free version on YouTube that's in the small corner of the screen and pitched up.
We don't have to talk about it, but yeah, that version on YouTube. So it's about a third. It's about a third of the screen, right?
Yeah, about a third of the screen.
And the voices are heightened. Is that right?
That's kind of how I watched The Wizard when we fucking did that one,
dude. Y'all watched that entire movie. Yeah. Like that?
Yep.
I bet it was shorter since it was like sped up.
I don't think it wasn't sped up. Yeah, I think it was sped up because I remember. Turning the movie to 1.25 times, and it was fast as fuck.
Yeah,
I think it was sped up from the original version of the movie, and that's why it was pitched up.
I'm actually cool with that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
It made the movie go by way faster. Yeah.
Oh man,
so we spent 90 minutes. Y'all spent like 87.
Oh shit, dude. Yeah, hard to find. If you want to watch it, watch it on YouTube or scour.
Just don't bother.
Just don't do it, man. It's all good. I think it's the first, you know,
it's
like
not good.
I don't know, man. This is just something that doesn't need to be seen.
This is one of those retros that we're just all just like no, because like we've had bad retros.
Yeah,
but I think
this one
that we're just like. Don't go watch this.
Yeah, it's unanimous. Like, don't waste your time.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It's just one of those things. It's fine. We're going to get them every now and then.
And we didn't even say that about Double Dragon.
Yeah.
And ooh. That had
Alyssa Milano.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, like,
Alyssa Milano.
When we make these decisions on the rut row that we do for our episode, we don't, like, sit down and watch it prior and then make the decision. We say the name, and then we all go watch it, and whatever it is,
and
we save
our comments when we come here.
Exactly, yeah, so it's all right, man. It happens. Fuck it. All right, boys, let's get into our next segment. Let's go into 21 or Up. This is our version of 21 Questions, where the gang is going to try to guess the title of a pre-selected video game. And Todd, you will be the selector. Do you have your title set up in your head? Ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll keep count on this one. All right, so it's going to be yes or no questions.
Okay.
All right, so that we can only ask you yes or no questions.
Okay.
If we ask you if it's this or if it's that, like indefinitely, then that's, if we get it wrong, the game's over. So okay. We can't ask you, like, well, is it this and this? And then think that we're going to keep getting asked questions, all right?
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's pretty much the rules on it. So
we could have cheated this one.
Huh?
We could have cheated.
Never would have known.
Yeah, never would have known.
These are good.
Fucked it up. All right, let's start with Zero.
Is it a fighting game?
Not a traditional fighter, so I guess no. There's fighting in it.
Is it a wrestling game?
No.
I'm surprised.
Did this game come out before the year 2000?
No.
Okay.
Was this game on the GameCube? No.
Is it a first person?
No.
Was it on the N64?
No.
Did this game come out on the Xbox 360?
No.
So what do we know about this so far?
So we know
nothing.
That, yeah, all we really know, man, is that it's not anything Sega or Nintendo or anything under the year 2000. That's pretty much all we got.
I got no doubt that you guys will get it. Was this game originally on the first Xbox? Nope.
Is it an RPG?
Yeah, I'd say it's an RPG.
Okay, well, there's something. So a brawling RPG, maybe?
Was this on PS2?
Oh, yeah.
I think I know now.
What do you think it is?
I mean, I'm thinking it might be the Bouncer.
You can't ask him.
I'm thinking it might be the Bouncer.
Was this a Square game?
Yeah.
As for the... Well, there are three main characters.
Were there three main characters? I'll say no, and I'll explain that one afterwards, because you guys may disagree with me on that, but I'll say no.
Okay, so then it might not be the Bouncer then, because...
Okay, so we got a brawling RPG.
On the PS2.
It came out on the PS2. It's a square game.
Cause see, that's why I was thinking it was the Bouncer, because, you know, Bouncer was square, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a brawling game, and it was kind of RPG.
Yeah, I remember it. I can't think of anything else, dude, but.
Well, and until he had said it wasn't on the Xbox, I was almost thinking Jade Empire. I played the shit out of that game.
Who's quick?
It's mine. Zeros. Yeah.
I don't think of anything else I can answer about the Bouncer that I can.
Well, and we haven't burned for any hints.
No, we still got two hints.
Yeah, yeah. That was my fault. We do get two hints.
No, I got to think of hints.
Yeah, that's fine. Take your time, and it's not a big deal, dude. But yeah, we do get two hints. We're burning one now, so we'll have one more after that.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be too revealing or anything, but yeah.
There's a lot of characters in this game that could be considered main characters.
Okay, that makes me think,
a lot.
Wait, no.
Either, like a Romancing Saga or...
Was Ultimate Alliance on... No, that wasn't Square, was it?
No.
I don't know. We can't check on our phones or anything, so I don't know.
Wasn't there an X-Men game that was a Square RPG? Wasn't Legends?
No, because I think Legends was made by the same people that did Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Wasn't it like Alta or something like that?
Yeah. Same people that did the Fantastic Four game too. On GameCube.
Unless you're good.
I know, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Hurry the fuck up.
Shut up. There's a lot of main characters. There's a lot of characters.
There's a lot of characters that... Because
be considered main
characters. I'll broaden my hint a little bit. Almost every character that has significance in this game has a pretty vivid story. They didn't skimp out. Like, the sub-character to the main character
is just as much depth. Is it a JRPG?
You mean like turn-based, like Final Fantasy style of gameplay, or just referencing?
Is it like like JRPG? Like, is it a Japanese?
Yeah, it's Japanese originally.
I mean, if it wasn't like PlayStation 2, I would have said Chrono Cross.
I was thinking Cross or Trigger, but then it's PS2.
Yeah.
What about Suikoden?
That's not Square.
Is this a multiplayer game?
No.
Okay. And it wasn't first person.
It's a JRPG brawler.
See, you say JRPG, but when I think JRPG, I think of gameplay style. Turn-based.
No, JRPG just means the developers from Japan.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure these developers are from Japan.
Well, Square Enix.
Based on what they made in the past.
Yeah.
Square, by the time they were on PS2, was Square Soft?
Square Enix.
Square Enix. Because it was Square first and then went Square Soft.
Did you have, like, you said there's a lot of main characters in there. Did they form a party or was it like single player at a time?
Yes or no question.
Well, I know, but so I will say, did you have a party that you could switch between? Like, as you're playing.
Yes to the party.
Okay.
We're at 18.
Maybe like Ultimate Saga?
No to the switching between people in the party.
Fuck, man.
We still have another hint, too.
All right, I'll burn for another hint.
I'm trying to think of one that won't give it away.
Might be some Azure Dreams type shit again.
Oh my god.
The game... The game has a lot of side games with it, but there are three core games as far as storyline goes. All the games in the series have to do with the storyline, but there's three main big ones that you play.
I don't fucking know, dude. Oh my gosh.
You know what? I'll change my hand. This game is fucking fantastic music.
Yeah, but that's Square.
Yeah,
phenomenal music. I'm not even referring to like...
Is Persona series on...
Persona's not Square.
Is it Square?
No, or it's Atlas.
I've never played Persona.
Yeah, it's Atlas.
Good for you. That game sucks ass.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there and take tests for a game.
Persona I like Persona some, 5 a lot.
Yeah, and it has some amazing
music. Yeah, it's got some of the best music, yeah.
Could be a Mana game.
Yeah, but they're not Square either. Yeah, but they were on PS2, was it?
One is.
It's a PS2 original.
Oh, shit. You know what? It's probably Kingdom Hearts.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hell
yeah, man. Kingdom Hearts.
Son of a bitch, man.
Should have fucking known.
Yeah.
God,
it's my favorite game series.
Yeah, dude, that was a big one. That was good. I liked that, man.
How many questions did y'all use?
17. Well, 18 with his guests. So, yeah. Awesome, man. Really cool.
Because when you said, you know, beat 'em up RPG, I thought Bouncer. And I was just like, and I get what you're saying with the teams now, because I was like,
You get a party, but you don't really switch between them. You just kind of change equipment and abilities.
You did everything very well. Right, dude. You answered really well, man. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That was a good shot. Because the only time you really ever do switch is when you go in between worlds, if you choose to.
And that was also hard to answer because you do switch characters in the third game.
Yeah.
You switch between Riku. Well, I don't think you play. Yeah, you play as Riku in the DLC, but then you switch between Axel and Terra and Aqua and Ventus.
But in Kingdom Hearts 1, you can switch Goofy and Donald out for
Jack or
Tarzan
Alice.
Or
I don't think you got a teammate in Alice in Wonderland.
Nah. It wasn't like, it was like Tarzan, Aladdin.
Tarzan, Aladdin.
Jack.
Little Mermaid.
Peter.
Yeah, Little Mermaid.
Was Lion King in the first one?
No,
no, it was second. You turned into a cat?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And Jack Skellington and Jack Sparrow were both in two.
Yeah, in the second one.
Jack Sparrow's story in two blew it out of the water, man. Pun intended.
What about fucking
amazing.
He was in the third one, Jack Sparrow, right?
Now. Yeah.
That was actually a pretty fun stage. I like that stage.
That was the stage you can tell they definitely put the most emphasis on. But three was just a disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
Overall, I liked it too, but it 15 years for that, or was it 10 years for that?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. They could have done better.
I want more.
All because of waiting on the fucking Disney licenses.
Mm. I will say Donald using Zeta Flare was fucking epic.
That was badass.
Fucking throws out a Zeta Flare and damn near kills himself. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
All right, boy. Well, yeah. Good job, Todd. Good one, man. I wasn't thinking that shit at all, so.
That was fun, man.
Yeah.
Seriously, after his fighting, but, you know, RPG, I was really thinking Jade Empire.
Yeah. All right, well, we have one final segment. It won't take long, though, Todd. We're wrapping it up now, man. Let's go ahead and do a 4 for 5. I thought it'd be cool. Let's do a, or I guess 5 for 5 for this one. We're going to do...
I like Arby's.
let's do a favorite heavy metal band. How about that?
Oh, shit. Oh, Todd and I were talking about metal bands earlier today.
Are you picking an era or of all time?
No, dude. Shoot at it, man. It's whatever you want.
Does hair metal count?
Absolutely. Yeah, go for it. Let's start with Todd. You know what? We're going to start with you, dude.
Man, one of my favorite bands of all time, Poison.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, hands down. I love the atmosphere, their little glam taste that's thrown in there from Kiss.
Yeah,
Brett Michaels, the Beast, CC DeVille. That man can just shred on the guitar. Yeah, Poison, hands down. One of my tops.
Nice. Good. Tim, what you got?
That was really short.
Oh, was I supposed to go longer?
Take as much time as you need.
Yeah. Semblant.
Who?
Semblant. You might not know.
I don't know.
They have really good lyrics with their shit, but for me, it's the fucking singer. Like, dear God, her vocals.
I haven't ever heard of that. I'll have to check them out.
I mean, is there a song in particular? I don't know.
I'm trying to think of which one off the... Which one was it that I was listening to the other day?
Obviously, we can't play music on here or anything, but I'm trying to at least get a feel of what you're talking about. How do you spell this?
S-E-M-B-L-A-N-T.
That's how they were saying symbiote at the beginning of Venom when they were before they edited it. You remember that? They had to go back and teach them how to say symbiote.
Yeah.
Because they were like symbiote.
Oh gosh. Hollywood, please.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean they look fun.
Yeah, they're similar to like Arch Enemy and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
They're newer metal.
I got you. I mean, I'll check them out now that I know that they exist.
And Mizuho is so hot.
Okay. Zero, what do you got?
I don't know, man. Like, across all... I listen to probably hundreds
of... I know, this is definitely a hard one for you.
It's tough for me. I would have to say one of the best ones I've seen live would be Death Clock.
God damn it, Zero, son of a bitch.
Yeah,
I was gonna use that one.
Were you?
Really, dude. So you got to see him live?
Yeah, I've seen him live,
and it's a fun show.
Oh, it's amazing!
Damn, dude.
Metal band ever, Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder. No, but
the Lone Rangers.
The Lone Rangers.
Yeah, shout out to the Lone Rangers.
You know, but I could go for hours, like, you know, just naming off ones that I've seen that I like. You know, I mean, Lamb of God, Slipknot. You know,
right.
List goes on forever.
Iron Maiden, yeah.
I hate Iron Maiden.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking love Iron Maiden.
The vocals for me hurt.
Yeah? Yeah, okay, yeah, I get that. I was like that the same way. What sold me on Iron Maiden is the drums, hands down.
Yeah,
drummer is...
And the guitarist is phenomenal, too. It's just the vocals. Vocals for me are, you know...
Throw Dio on those vocals and you got me.
Dio?
I love Dio.
I love Dio. Yeah. Rainbow is fucking amazing. Dio's like the Black Sabbath with him.
Yeah, I did too. I liked it more than with Ozzy. Blasphemy, I know, but...
Yeah, that's good shit, man.
You see his stripes, but he know he's clean.
But the Killswitch Engage cover of
Killswitch Engage.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Killswitch Engage is a good shit.
Killswitch Engage is a good band, too, man. Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, probably hundreds of thousands of bands. I could.
I feel you, dude. Wow. I feel you, man. I feel you. Trunks, what do you got?
I'm actually going to go one that, if I remember correctly, I went and saw with y'all. Darren Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw much Korn and Flyleaf.
Yeah.
Korn. They did a show with Flyleaf. Oh, God. Yeah. That's lit.
No, it was bad.
Is this one of the music videos that we watched that
no,
one?
No, that was one OK Rock. But, okay. No, right. Darren Gray.
Flyleaf is horrible live.
Yeah, Flyleaf is bad live. But ouch. Darren Gray.
I actually took my girlfriend to a concert that consisted of Flyleaf, and we went there for Flyleaf.
Did Rachel know about that?
She went.
But no, man. No, Darren Gray, dude, they're a badass Japanese band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean.
But, you know, like, Darren Gray, like, every album that they have is different from the next.
Yeah.
So that's nice. It's like you kind of have
like
to pick.
Gorillas.
Yeah. You kind of have to pick like which albums are during grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Because one of my favorite ones is their new one. Their, well, it was the newest one I had at the time. It's called Ouroboros.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the lead singer, Ryu, that motherfucker sits there on stage and like he's going and screaming, and the whole time he's just like scratching his chest. And,
yeah.
Like,
full on Iggy Pop.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Like, everywhere. By the end of it, his whole chest is just covered in blood.
That's
just
fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, but his vocals are, like, amazing.
He just does that all the time? That's just a thing?
Yeah. He's very...
I will say if I was going to pick, like, a J-metal band, J-kind of pop, yeah. I would have picked Maximum the Hormone.
Them two. Mm-hmm. Them two.
I'm about to check these out, dude. I'm gonna write these down.
I mean, you got to shout out Baby Metal too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Even if you hate them,
Baby Metal's they're fucking amazing.
Talented. I got you. I got you.
Them they don't play anymore. But was it Lady Baby or think it was? Where's the three? There's the two little Japanese girls in maid outfits and this big white dude in a maid outfit, and he's just screaming.
I remember that too. Yeah.
Japan's got some weird interesting.
They have a song.
Bandmade, they're good too.
Yeah, it's really good. Man, that guitar is for Bandmade.
The drummer too. The drummer, she is badass. Like she actually kept up with Maximum Hormone mm-hmm. on a couple of songs. Like she just was sitting there, and they're you know she had the music going, and she's up there just
yeah.
And the fact that she's doing it all in a maid outfit and has that little hat and doesn't mm-hmm. move the whole time.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
She's badass.
That's awesome, dude. Hell yeah. Well, mine, I guess, I'm going to go ahead and say, because I've seen them live a couple of times, that my little brother's a huge fan of them. They're obviously very generic in heavy metal, but Slipknot is probably going to be my favorite heavy metal band.
Dude, they're badass.
Not just because of their live show, but I mean, their albums are first three that I remember were really good.
Iowa is amazing, man.
Well, Iowa, yeah. Iowa. That was the one I was mm-hmm. thinking of. That's the one with the Goathead, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like, I could listen to their albums all the way through, and I can't do that with a lot of heavy metal, honestly. Because I'm not the kind of fan that you know you guys are with it. But Slipknot, dude, I can throw that shit on from Sick all the way down on their first album. I can listen to that whole fucking album, dude. And they're amazing live. All of them up doing their thing, dude. I mean, that's definitely the best show I've ever seen in heavy metal. But I also haven't seen very many.
Slipknot may be one of the most consistent bands I've seen as far as consistently putting mm-hmm. out bangers. Like, I don't think there's really a bad album. Even their not newest song they came out with, but All Out of Life, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
It's still a banger. I'll bump it. Yeah, it's a great song.
Absolutely.
And I still need to check out the new System of Down.
It's just two tracks, and they did it just kind of to bring awareness to the Armenian
War.
Oh, okay.
Oh. That's cool.
Is it on like Spotify and all that? Or?
I think it's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
There's a video that's on YouTube, and then I think the other one is like SoundCloud or something.
I got you.
Like they didn't get paid or do anything for money for this one.
Okay. That's lit. I respect that a lot.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, we forgot our small town shoutouts.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and real quick, fire shot real quick. Go ahead, you start, Trunks.
I'm going to say, I'm going to go back with Games
Why are you
of
fire shot? We got plenty of time.
Do we?
Yeah,
are y'all good? Well, and I know
I'm fine.
You good? Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Games Unplugged again because, you know.
Okay.
I just went up there and spent way too much money the other day.
Got you.
Well, actually, the last 2 days, I've been up there and spent way too much money.
Yeah.
Because I bought new dice and new monsters to throw at y'all this weekend. So it's going to be fun.
Cool.
So.
Hell yeah. Zero.
Hey. I'll do Waxahachie Coins and Comics.
All right, cool. Yeah. Still, our little setup here.
Still awesome that we get to come up here and hang out and do the show here.
Absolutely.
And it is.
Kyle and Dylan have definitely helped us out quite a bit.
Yep, absolutely. Tim.
I'll do a classic at the College Street Pub. Always right, a great cool. place to go get a drink.
Yeah. Cool, man. Hell yeah. Are they doing are they doing inside seating right now?
As far as I know, yeah. Cool. Limited inside seating.
Awesome. Todd, you got anybody?
Am I allowed to mention the place across the street?
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, definitely mine's going to be a perfect piece.
Okay, cool.
Fighting for a right.
Cool, man.
I mean, their prices are a little high, but you got to do what you got to do when you're trying to make it work in a county.
You should have put quotations on when you said hi.
You can fix that in post, right?
Oh, yeah.
See, I thought he was going to go with Bittersweet Bakery, but nope.
Yeah.
Well, he goes there after.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. Zero gets it.
Yeah, I'll definitely shout out a little spot that Trunks has talked about before in a shout out, and that's that dessert spot.
Oh yeah,
down here. It's actually really. We got a couple of cookies from there, and these things are fucking huge.
Dude, they are.
And yeah, it was really really good, man. It was a real treat, and it's definitely something that we're gonna keep in mind from here on out. To
and like I say, he's an awesome guy. He's really nice.
Yeah, it seemed like it, man. Yeah, it was really...
Okay, now we're out of time.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, dude, I mean, that's all I really had anyways. But yeah, so that was our, five for five. Small town shout out. I got to say, it is a lot of fun talking music.
Yeah.
We might do that more in the future, different genres and stuff like that. That's fun. I like that. All right, guys. Well, that's about it, man. That's about it for episode 19 of the JTOS podcast. Guys, don't forget, if you enjoy hanging out with us, please leave us a like, a share, a comment, or all of the above. While you're listening to us on your favorite listening platform, please consider leaving us a review, because believe me, every little bit helps. Also, don't forget to come down to Waxahachie Coins and Comics. There's still a lot of stuff here, man. He's got inventory growing more and more, so come check it out. Grab you something. Take it home. Maybe take it out of the box and play with it, actually. Ooh. No, yeah. Maybe.
You can get a blue oyster.
Todd, I want to thank you for coming over on with us, dude. This was a lot of fun. This was really cool. We definitely want to have you on again at some point.
Man, thanks for having me. It was a real blast of the past from when I used to do the YouTube channel thing and the
really
microphones.
Cool.
It's really great. Cool. Feels like home.
Do you want to shout out your channel real quick?
I'd love to. I didn't want to impose, but
no, absolutely, go for it, man.
Game Recover on YouTube. Look up Game Recover channel. It's a little bit older videos, but it's two really stupid people playing really funny games.
Awesome.
And twitch.tv/skimpy_mcdoo if you want to catch me streaming.
Nice, definitely. Yeah, I'll definitely start checking it out for sure, man. But yeah, that's about it, boys, for episode 19. Because we're not going to be talking to the audience until after. I do want to say a happy Thanksgiving. Everybody, a happy Friendsgiving, whatever you're doing. Try to stay safe, you know, enjoy your time. We're definitely in one of the darker situations in America right now with the pandemic and everything.
2020 sucks.
But yeah, just stay safe, guys.
I don't know if you have like low expectations all the time. Really,
Zero, that's really a good point, you. Man. That's a good point. I think we should all take that to heart. We'll all be happier. Yeah.
2020 has not been too bad for pessimists.
No. We were right all along.
Exactly.
But all right, guys, that's going to be it, man. And we'll see you next time. Todd, why don't you lead us out with a goodbye?
All right, everybody, thanks for checking out the podcast. Thanks for having me on, boys, and we'll catch you next time.
Later.
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 Later.